Birthdays are a pretty big deal, aren't they? And I'll tell you how you know that. When somebody forgets yours. Now, when you get my age, you'd like to pretend it doesn't really matter. And I'm not going to sing six verses of the Rime of the Ancient Mariner this morning. But you notice if no one else does. Birthdays are a big deal. What about Christmas? Man, around our house, when our kids were growing up, whether it was birthdays or Christmas, we'd get the list, sometimes 2 months in advance, posted on the refrigerator, you know, the central place in the house where everybody visits. And our daughter Sarah, who's here today, just got in from California yesterday, she would be particularly creative with her list. She would have the high price section that she knew was chances were slim and none she was going to get anything off that. And then there would be the mid-sized, kind of like a car rental agency. And then the economy section, which would be very large because she figured that was her best shot. And when we would ask her the same question every year, you really don't think you're going to get all of this, her response would be, no, but I just want to give you plenty of options. She planned ahead for her birthdays and for Christmas. So did our other kids. I remember when I was a kid, I used to find all of Mom and Dad's good hiding places. I thought they didn't know that, but they laugh about it now. Of course, Dad's gone, but they still laughed about it. Oh, yeah, we knew you were unwrapping those presents and playing with them and then wrapping them back. I got real good at it. Didn't think anybody knew, but parents know those things. But I'll never forget, just to show you the sting of when you think somebody has forgotten, I'll never forget. To this day, I'm 55 years old, and I still remember as if it were yesterday when Hasbro made a toy that was a big plastic aircraft carrier called Mighty Matilda. And I wanted a Mighty Matilda for Christmas. And it was neat. It even had its own song. It'd play its own song while it was going along to the tune of the Australian thing, Waltzing Matilda. I could sing that song to you today, word for word. I won't. But that's how much I remembered it. It had this motorized thing and a wheel. You turn the switch on, it would go up and down like it was in the ocean, you know, and all that. And, oh, man, that's what I wanted. I would just, because it was, you know, that was it. And I guess my parents, you know, that was, I guess a lot of other kids wanted it because the store sold out. My parents didn't get on the job soon enough. And when I came out on Christmas morning, or I think it was I found it out when I snuck around early and found the presents down in the basement, it was something different. Now, I'm 55 years old. I can still tell you that story. It stung. I mean, what they gave me was nice, but it wasn't what I wanted. Birthdays and Christmas tend to be a big deal to us. I wonder what they are to God. You see, in a sense, he's the father of the whole human race because he created everybody. And I wonder how he feels when his children don't want anything to do with him. When his children basically kick him out of his own birthday. I wonder how God feels about that. You know, you think about what our culture is trying to do to get rid of God as much as they can, and it even comes down to Christmas. I think it was just 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago, that the big deal was we're not going to say Merry Christmas anymore. The restaurant, a lot of the restaurant employees around the country were instructed by their managers and their hierarchy, don't say Merry Christmas because that's too religious oriented. You know, we've got to get Christ out of this thing. Christmas, Christmas. So say Happy Holidays. Don't say Merry Christmas because we don't want to be identified with any particular religion. I happened to be out in California visiting my mother around Christmas time, and all that made my mother mad. Because my mother's a Christian. And we would go to restaurants, and Mom would get right in, you know, they'd say Happy Holidays, and Mom would get right in their face and say, no, Merry Christmas. You got to know my mother. And she'd say, I'm not letting them take Jesus out of Christmas for me. Well, while Mom may have come on like horseradish in proclaiming her faith, we've been far too casual in not proclaiming ours. Because let me tell you something, there is no Christmas without Jesus Christ. It doesn't exist. It isn't just all mistletoe and, you know, pine trees decorated and all the lights and everything else. Most of that was actually came from worship of the German god Thor. But Christians took Christmas and appropriated it many centuries ago as a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus in Nazareth. A time to celebrate the greatest gift of all. Jesus Christ coming into this world is greater than a mighty Matilda aircraft carrier or whatever it is you think you need. And yet the world we live in isn't concerned about the greatest gift ever given. It's worrying more this year about how the stores are going to do economically, because this is their biggest sales time of the year. That's what you hear about on the news. You don't hear anything about Christ. But God gave a gift 2,000 years ago. And it wasn't just a gift like a lot of Christmas gifts. What I might say I would like to have for Christmas as a kid might be something different from what you said. And to each his own, and everybody's got his taste. This gift is desperately needed by every person living on this planet. This gift is essential. Because without this gift, you die and go to hell. And all of us are going to die. You've never met the person that cheated death. Oh, you might have met someone that recovered from a severe disease, or it went into remission, or they had a heart attack and had bypasses and lived another 10, 15 years. But eventually, all men die. And the Bible says in the New Testament, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Because you see, God, back in the Garden of Eden, got kicked out of Christmas by mankind. Mankind said, we want to live our lives without God. We want to decide how we're going to live without God. We don't want any part of this business of God running our lives, even though it means paradise. Because the Garden of Eden was a wonderful place. Nobody ever gossiped. Nobody ever hated. There weren't any soldiers patrolling on Christmas Day in the Garden of Eden like there is going to be in Iraq and Afghanistan and countless other places around the world this December 25th. The Garden of Eden was a place where everybody loved everybody else perfectly and treated everybody the right way all the time. It was a good place to live. It's what philosophers call utopia. And then God was kicked out. Man said, God, I don't want anything to do with you. And what kind of a world have we had ever since? What do you think of this world where God's not welcome? Look out the door. Turn on the news. I promise you, it's not heaven. It's not heaven. The world without God is getting worse and worse. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, he said, in the last days, evil men are going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Because you see, there's a problem called sin. And the moment man turned his back on God and started living for himself, man became a sinner. Now you say, well, I'm not a bad person. I'm not a sinner. Are you ever selfish? Well, yeah, but everybody is. That's my point exactly. Everybody's a sinner. Have you ever said anything to someone or about someone you shouldn't say? Well, yeah, but everybody does that. That's exactly right, because everybody is a sinner. Well, if you ever, I really try and be careful, but have you ever thought something you shouldn't thought? Maybe you're thinking something you shouldn't think right now. Well, everybody does that. Yeah, they do. That's because everybody is a sinner. And that's the problem. The minute we turned our back on God, we turned our back on heaven. And things have been going down ever since. And a world full of selfish people who have their own agenda, and even the good and seemingly kind things they do for the wrong reasons, for the praise of men, or to try and think that I can impress God enough that he's going to take me back. when my heart is filled with evil thoughts and thoughts that do not love God. That's the world we live in. And the result is murder. The result is stealing. The result is hate. The result is war. The result is a drug epidemic. The result is places all over this country and all over this community where it's not safe to go because somebody may cut your throat and steal your wallet for $5. That's the world we've been given with man turning his back on God. And yet if someone like me or someone like these folks stands up here and says, wait a minute, there's a better way, people laugh and people just blow it off and just, I don't need to hear that. You know what the Bible calls that? Foolishness. Foolishness. If your child wants to cross Ecorse Road out here during weekday work traffic, and as they're growing up, you try and teach them the technique of how to judge traffic and how to watch out for traffic, and they say, I don't need to know that. I don't want to know that. What would you call that? I'd call that foolishness. And every time they cross the road, they're living on borrowed time. Let me tell you something. A world that's not interested in what I'm saying today and what has been sung about today is a foolish world that's living on borrowed time because we're going to die. And what then? What then? Because there's going to come a judgment. You see, man may choose to run away from God while he lives, but he's going to face him when he dies. Because ultimately, you can't run away from your Creator. It is only his graciousness and his kindness and his patience that allows man to do the foolish things he does now without fire falling from heaven. Yet God patiently, with his arms open, says, I have given you a wonderful gift, Jesus Christ, who did what you cannot do for yourself, paid for your sins on the cross. All you have to do is embrace my Son and accept what he did. Accept that Christmas gift, and I'll forgive everything. I know you can't do it yourself. He did it for you. Just trust him. And I will forgive everything, and you're back in my family. You're back, so to speak, in the garden, and you're going to be in paradise, heaven, when you die. But turn your back on Christ throughout this life, and you will face him, not as your Savior, but as your judge when you die. And the books of heaven will be opened, and your name will not be there. And you'll be judged in all eternity in hell for turning your back on God. Now, what I'm telling you today is the truth. You say, well, why do we need to hear that? Because we love you and because God loves you. Listen to me, my friend. Jesus Christ loved you so much that he died for you. Who do you know that loves you that much? Jesus Christ loved you so much that he died for you. He wants to rescue you from hell. He didn't walk out on you. Mankind walked out on him. But the Bible says God sent his Son to seek and to save that which was lost. God took the initiative. God could have sat up in heaven and done what most of us would do. If somebody treated us that way, be bitter and pout and say, fine, if that's the way they want it, I'll deal with them. How many parents have had their kids ungrateful, selfish, and just turn their back? And it's so hard for them to keep loving. It's so easy to say, to be hurt and to say, you know what, if that's the way they want it, so be it. And to cut them off. God would have been absolutely just to have that reaction. Listen to me, here's the central message of Christmas. God didn't have to send his Son. He would have been perfectly just to send every one of us, myself included, to hell because of our rebellion and the sin nature and the rebellious heart we inherited from our parents who got it from their parents, who got it from their parents, passed down through the whole human race from Adam. God would have been perfectly just because the human race basically told God where to jump off. And they're still doing it. God would have been perfectly just to send every one of us to hell. He would have been perfectly just to say, fine, if that's the way you want it, so be it. I'll have the last word. But you know what? He's not only a just God. The Bible says he has loved us with an everlasting love. And the love in his heart said, I'm going to go get them. I'm going to send the gift of my son to go down and do what they can't do, live a perfect, sinless life that honors the God who deserves to be honored. And then, as that perfect, sinless lamb, to be offered on the cross and pay the penalty for sin, satisfying God's justice, so God can now offer freely the gift of eternal life to all who trust in his son, because his son paid for the sins of the world. And those who come to him can receive that payment for their sins. God sent the most important gift that's ever been given to deal with the most serious need that you have, far more serious than unemployment and all of these difficult things people are going through today. The most serious need you ever have, God sent the greatest gift ever been given. And today, all you have to do is accept that gift and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess to God that you were a sinner and that Christ paid for your sins and you are trusting in him alone for salvation. My friends, that is Christmas. You're not going to hear that out there. But bless God, you were here today to hear it in here, because that's why this church is here and so many other churches. Let's bow our heads, every head bowed and every eye closed. It's not an accident that you're here today. You're here today because God brought you here, whether it was to see your little children, whether it was to enjoy a Christmas cantata, whether it was because you know someone in the choir. Whatever the reason, whatever the circumstances that God used to orchestrate it, you're here and you're listening to what we are saying because God wants you to hear it today. And that's because God loves you. And God wants you to hear once again about this wonderful Christmas gift named Jesus, who loved you so much that he died for you, that you might live forever and you don't have to fear death. Because you won't face judgment if you trust Christ. You're going to heaven. You're getting back to paradise forever and ever. And that's what Jesus came to do. But you know what? There's something you must do. Not anything of personal effort or works or merit, but you must believe. You must accept the gift. You know, somebody can offer you a gift and you can refuse it. You can say, I don't want it. And boy, when somebody offers a gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord to a sinner who is on his way to hell, can you imagine refusing such a gift? Unbelievable. And yet people do it by the thousands every day. That's how wicked we are. But today, if you've never received that gift, and this is the hour and the time, and God brought you here to hear this, let me tell you this, you know it, because the Holy Spirit has been talking to you while I have. And the Holy Spirit has been saying, this man is telling you the truth. You need Jesus Christ. And I want to give you the opportunity to receive that gift today. We're not going to embarrass you in any way, so don't worry about that. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, if the desire of your heart right now is to confess to God that you're a sinner and to accept God's gift of the payment for your sins through Jesus Christ, who purchased eternal life, the gift of eternal life, and you'd like to receive that today, I want you to do something. I'm just going to help you right now with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. This is between you and God. But I want to help you. I want you to just pray a prayer. I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer, and you don't have to pray it out loud with your lips. Say it inside in your heart. God knows your heart. God hears the prayer of your heart. But just pray this prayer, something similar in your own words. Say, Heavenly Father. That's it. Talk to God in your heart. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've lived life for myself. That's it. Talk to God. He hears you. Talk in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud with your lips, but in your heart. Say it and mean it. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've lived my life for myself. But God, I want to be rescued from hell. I want to come back to you. And God, right now, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. That's it. Talk to God. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins because that's what the Bible says. And I believe the Bible is your word. I believe that right now. And right now I am trusting in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sin and for the gift of eternal life. And I thank you, Father, for answering my prayer. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, did you pray that prayer or something similar in your own words, and did you mean it in your heart? I don't want anybody looking around. But right now, if you prayed that prayer, I'd like to know about it. Would you just slip up your hand and keep it there until I see it? Say, Pastor Graham, yes, God bless you over here. Pastor Graham, you can put your hand down, honey. Pastor Graham, I prayed that prayer and I meant it in my heart. Amen. I see your hand. You can put it down. Over to my left, you can put it down. Someone else, I prayed that prayer and I meant it in my heart. One has said, I trusted in Jesus as my Savior. What about the rest of you? Did you pray that prayer? Did you mean it in your heart? Just let me know. Slip your hand up in the air. Keep it there until I see it. And then you can put it back down. Ma'am, you, the one who prayed that prayer, nobody else looking around, look up at me real quick, would you please? Did you mean it in your heart? Did you mean it? God bless you. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the precious, glorious, eternal message of the gift of God's Son. And God, oh, how we thank you that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the ultimate Christmas gift. Father, thank you for this one who has come to you in prayer and said, God, forgive me of my sins and save me. God, give her right now assurance of her salvation. The Bible says in 1 John 11 through 13, and this is the record, meaning the scriptures, what the Bible tells us about Jesus, and this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who hath the Son of life, or he who hath the Son of God hath life, and he who hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things are written, that again refers to the Bible. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Thank you for this one who has said yes. Thank you for so many others here today who have trusted Jesus and are saved. God, we just want to rejoice and just say to you, we worship you, we thank you forever for sending your Son and saving us. Bless your holy name. You are such a great, good, and loving God. Amen.